All right, it's the fourth and final hour of the morning show presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. David Johnston and Sam Franco along with you. Coach Donnan here in the studio with us, and always love having Coach in, and he'll be with us Tuesdays during the fall, and also University Tire and Automotive's Bulldog Friday night, so certainly looking forward to that. Coach, we had the G-Day game this past Saturday, and unfortunately had some bad news happen Saturday night with one of Georgia's signees. He hadn't enrolled yet, but he had signed his national letter of intent, and he was going to be getting here in June. And, you know, with the details that we all saw of what happened, you know, I don't feel like there was any choice what Georgia had to do with that. But, boy, you sure hate it for a young man who is in the situation he's in. And, like, I know when coaches recruit, y'all go to some places that are really – I know there are some guys that are in some bad situations, and I'm not even beginning to try to take up for him because what he did was horrible. But in this day and age, is the word getting out better to these guys about, look, these are the things you got to know, and it doesn't matter whether you've been raised in a good household or not. There have been people
in Monday morning, every coach in America sent out a copy of this to every recruit coming in just to see what you know, let everybody know that one mistake like this can, you know, curtail
your
ability
life
to do anything as far as enhancing your college career or anything. You get typecast, which you should when you do something like that. But, you know, I applaud Kirby for making a quick move because that's, you know, he's got a little girl, you know.
Yeah.
And you tell your players, and I think it's kind of ironic that the lady was talking to Georgia team on Friday about domestic violence. But I think the bottom line is that you're in a when you get a scholarship in any sport and you represent your family, you represent your school, high school, your college, and your actions, you just, there's so many things going on out there that you've just got to understand that basically it gets down to what we always tell everybody involved is do it right. You know what's right and you know what's wrong, and if you think it's right, you do it. If you anything questionable about it being wrong, you don't. So that's all you can do.
Yeah, and again, like you said, the irony that they had a speaker come in on Friday and talk to the team. Now, he wasn't part of – I mean, I know his group wasn't a part of that talk, but it's just one of those things where, you know, this day and age.
Right.
I know
it's a societal issue. It's not just athletic.
Yes,
but I think the thing that really goes to the core of being a coach in any sport, when your players report to start the fall and you're getting ready to get ready for the season, your opponents all, but you're also getting ready to become a student at a very difficult school. I mean, there's a lot of five-star academic people that you're competing against here at Georgia. You know, everybody knows how hard it is to get in, and some of these kids don't have the background that some of these kids that they're competing against. So your academic profile is going to have to be really enhanced. And fortunately, we got Dr. Ted White here working with our kids, and they do a good job of that, of you know, as well as they can be, of maintaining their academics. But before you even talk about running 42 gap or running 699 or 866 or running a 5-2 defense, you got to talk about date rape. You got to talk about drug testing. You got to talk about alcohol prevention. You got to talk about all these different things. You bring somebody in from the downtown, from the legal people, to talk about on-campus problems, about parking. I mean, one of the worst things anybody does is get parking tickets, and those accumulate. Just everything that you just take for granted.
But I mean, they're college kids.
You bring in somebody from the bank. Some of these kids don't know how to use a checkbook or an ATM or anything like that. So you just got to educate them. And the best part of seeing some of these young men and women from backgrounds that aren't very advanced is seeing them come here and be a part of learning how to get some discipline, learning how to develop some teamwork, And you can really help them if they'll just let you and don't make mistakes like this, that they're going to really be a lot better having being around all these different types of discipline.
But some people will say, a guy like this, you know, could he get a second chance, get some, you know, if he went through the legal system and got some help, would he be a candidate to be rehabilitated? But what if you didn't kick him off the team? What if he came here and he did something else to another person on campus? Then
exactly.
you've enabled someone that's now a threat to other people on campus.
You just wear a lot of hats as the coach, and you've got to look at the big picture. You got to be fair to every kid and say, hey, I'm going to give you a second chance and all that. But at the same time, what's the best for the program and the image of the program and what the program's all about? So it's just some of these issues, you just can't give second chances. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not here to say anything about the kid. I don't really know all the facts, but I do know this, that the fact that we move so swiftly on it pretty much says to me that, you know, that's the way it was.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. It wasn't a police report of something that happened in an apartment. It was a he said, she said thing. This was something that happened downtown Athens. And I just, you know, just it's a sad situation all the way around. But like you said, that's every coach in America sees that and is telling their recruits, look what can happen if you screw up.
Yeah, you know, experience sometimes is you got to go through things growing up to understand, and some of your friends go through them. But, you know, we always had a bulletin board that anything that happened around the country that was salient to an athlete, good and bad, you know, say a kid got involved with, like Malcolm Mitchell with that reading program.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, a lot of schools had that. Hey, look what this young man's done with his life and how he's helped people. What can you do to help enhance our program? So you put good things up there, but you also say, hey, these two kids were at the beach and got involved in a deal and blah, blah, blah. And one of the things that I always talked about, and I talk about it in the fall, is when camp starts here, is what's going to happen to every team in the country between April the 24th and August the 1st. What's going to happen off the field, academically, injuries, malcontent, transfers, whatever it might be, transfers in, guys not making their grades and not being eligible because they didn't graduate from high school with enough of a GPA, even though they projected to have it. All these things affect your team, and some teams are a lot better when fall camp starts because of the influx of freshmen or transfers all, and some teams aren't as good because they lose some players because of dumb mistakes like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you just, you know, your coaches are going out on the road recruiting and all, but I know I heard Kirby say that he was spending these 3 days talking to each kid on the team about where you are, where you stand, what you got to do between now and fall camp, academic profile, all these things. But you know, it's hard for a coach to talk to the individual kids, 85 plus the walk-ons, all the time. The assistant coaches see them every day, but the coach sees the group. But this one-on-one 30-minute meeting is very, very big for every coach. And of course, you have an open door policy. If you need to come in and talk to me, I'm going to talk to you. But what he's basically doing is setting the stage for, hey, here's where you are, this is what you got to do, we're counting on you to be a part of our team. It might not be anything but special teams, but this is what you got to work on. And I think these 3 days are really big on the realization for some of these kids that had high hopes that, look, right now you're just not ready, or right now you've really made a quantum leap between last year and this year, and we're counting on you. So that's going to be a big 3 days for Kirby to talk to these guys.
Coach, I wanted to ask you kind of about, it's not, you know, I know we were just talking about the Demery thing, but this is more about where the intersection hits between, you know, a player's talent and that kind of questionable character. And obviously a lot of guys – have we've seen more and more that the character thing is going up in terms of the risk isn't worth it as much when a guy has these issues. At what point do you think, you know, it becomes worth it or not worth it? Because you have guys that are super talented, and obviously a lot of programs across the country have made, you know, great strides with players that, you know, might have been a little bit of a risk to take in the first place. So how do you kind of make that determination?
Well, you start right now. Just the comparative faction here, Sam, would be just watch the pro draft. Character, you're going to pay a guy millions of dollars to represent your franchise. Is it worth it with the baggage that you have in your past? And most of the time, most of these teams won't take him. Look at Joe Mixon, you know, from Oklahoma. I mean, he made a terrible mistake and got a chance to stay there and play. But, you know, they didn't even invite him to the combine. But somebody's probably going to take him because, you know, he's definitely a talented kid. And I'm not here to say what is – whether you should or shouldn't, but the point that you ask, I think, as the coach, you've got to recognize that you have a lot of people that take a tremendous pride in being a graduate of the University of Georgia and what it stands for and what that diploma and that degree means. And, boy, that's a real heavy burden on your shoulders to make those decisions that you feel like will give you the kind of team that represents the program on and off the field like you want it to do. And I basically always looked at discipline like this, you know, and it's pretty much cut and dried most decisions. There's not many of them that really take a lot of thinking. But, you know, I used to tell the kids that wanted to transfer, look, if you really think you want to go somewhere else and go play somewhere else, I'll help you. But let me tell you this. I take some water and pour it in my hands and let it hit the floor. I said, that's how long we're going to miss you if you want to leave. Because you can't worry about somebody that doesn't want to be in their full boat with you. You got to have guys that are on your page and want to do what you want them to. One of the biggest things that I would ever translate to any administrator or boss or coach or teacher or anything is to the people that are working with you, are you coachable? You know what that means? When your boss, your authoritative figure, anybody around you says something, you do it. You're coachable. You have no barriers. You believe in it. You know, hey, coach, you want us to run 10 30s, 15 40s? Man, you're crazy. As compared, well, coach feels like that's what we need to do. That's what we're going to do, you know. Or your boss says, hey, I need you guys to work overtime. We need some more stuff here. I mean, hey, that's the way it is. You're coachable. And people that relate to that are going to be successful. Enough philosophy, but I think that
well, that's true.
At the top, though, you got to have that leadership, and to have leadership, you got to have followership. You got to have people that want to follow you, that want to react to your decision making, that want to be make you look like you're doing the right thing.
Coach Donnan here in the studio with us. And that's what I love about the NFL draft is, you know, kind of like, I guess a little bit of what Sam, you know, you take a guy like Reuben Foster who's so talented, but there's these red flags around him. Then you got the quarterback thing where Trubisky's only started 13 games. Deshaun Watson's collegiate accomplishments are, you know, through the roof. How do you weigh all that kind of stuff?
Well, there's all kind of different things that they look at, and they do these psychological profiles, too, that they give these – I don't know where they get these questions and all, but they get these. Everyone that I've ever seen pretty much has these guys down to a T. Like I had a guy from the Oakland, I don't know if it's Oakland or whoever it might be, call me one time and says, hey, would this guy, would it really bother him if he let a guy sack a guy, how would that react? How would he react the rest of the game? Does he have the ability to put it out of the way and then let it. He said, we've got some things that say that he tends to worry. And I said, hey, you got this guy down pat. And it wasn't even a Georgia player. This was Oklahoma.
Right.
So, I mean, the point is, I said, hey, give me that profile test. I'd like to give it to my players. And here's what happens. you can do a better job of coaching a guy if you know what makes him tick. Some guys like sugar and some of them like the other part. So you got to be careful that what you're doing, positive reinforcement is the way I like to do things. But more than likely, there's a little bit more than if a guy can't understand something very easily, maybe he's got a learning disability. Maybe you got to work away around that. You know, so I had a receiver at Missouri that could not learn anything in a group setting, but I would take him by himself and walk him through things and talk to him. He was just so embarrassed to ask anything. He was so afraid somebody was going to think he didn't know what he was doing in a group setting that he couldn't be coached like that. But by himself, I mean, he was awesome. So you got
to
do different
And you
ways.
As a coach have to have the ability to kind of notice that. And exactly. I don't want to drudge up the past, but I can guarantee you Quincy Carter was one of those kind of players that the NFL, I'm sure, was like, do we take this guy, do we not? I mean, right. The physical, part.
I had a call from Jerry Jones and the coach, and there was like Parcells. There was like 15 people on this call, and they were asking me all these things about him. And, you know, we went through the good and the bad, but so many things.
And they eventually took him.
Yeah, so many things about Quincy that surfaced later on.
Yeah.
Were not prevalent here from what we were able to do, because Ron Corson, I've talked to him about it a lot. You know, he conducted all the drug testing. He never had a positive test. That doesn't mean he couldn't have had been smoking or whatever it might have been, but when we test him, it never happened. But the point is.
And that's what I mean. I didn't mean to drudge all that up. I was just saying he's that kind of guy.
Know,
yeah.
You don't know you that, don't. But Quincy was a. Quincy let things bother him that he was worried about what everybody else thought, you know, too much. But he mm-hmm. he was, hey, listen, you could go in a parking lot right now out here and Sam throw the ball to you and he couldn't complete 17 in a row. He went into Tiger Stadium, hit 17 in a row against the LSU defense in the top
yep.
five in the country.
I know.
I mean,
it's unbelievable.
Come on, man. That
best high school football player I ever saw.
Right. So. But he did a lot of good things for us, and it's just a shame that things didn't work out for him.
But it's just one of those things, you know, like we're talking about what do teams – I heard Mel Kiper say Reuben Foster might be the second-best athlete, second-best player in this draft. But, he, you know, he's got all this stuff around him, you know.
Well, you know, you're talking about this with Reuben Foster. There's some states, and even nationally, talking about legalizing marijuana. So – because a guy smoked marijuana, does that mean that he's a bad kid?
Right.
I mean, so I'm not talking about Reuben or any person.
Yeah,
so
just
I'm
in
not,
general.
I'm not adhering to that.
Yeah.
But the point is, there's a fine line. I mean, and these NBA guys talk about, hey, they smoke it all the time, but who knows? But
and the NBA doesn't test for it.
It's too much. These social issues. I don't want to get on this side of the fence where somebody's getting on me and tweeting out. Donna's talking about this, but I just feel like that the NFL, with all these different measurables that you can look at to draft somebody, it gets down to if a guy has some kind of negative part, you got to ask the owner, say, look, are you willing to go with what we're going to get if we take this guy? And if the owner, he pays the bills, if he says yes, we're going to go with him because we think he can help our team.
But, I'll say this about Foster. If that guy falls to 31 where the Falcons are drafting and you add him to that linebacking core that already has Deion Jones and Devondre Campbell to it, they'd be nuts to pass on him.
Yeah, I think
– he ain't going to fall that far.
Everything I've heard about him, yeah. He's a good kid. You know, did he have a diluted sample? Why was it diluted? Who knows? They're talking about Peppers had one. They mm-hmm. said that he had a hydration problem. So, who knows? Peppers is another great player. It's hard to believe that we got, you know, last week in April and we're all jacked up about instead of watching Scandal on Thursday night, we're going to be watching this.
Hey, Coach, to the emails. Tony says, the all email right, address, Tony. By the way, 960theref@coxradio.com. Coach made the decision to start a true freshman quarterback. What goes into that for a quarterback with no experience over the QBs that have been there? And would that be a harder decision if the experienced quarterback had been a five-star recruit? Which is, I guess, what we're going through with now with Eason and Fromm, or are we? I mean,
yeah,
is
I've had situations numerous times at different places when I was assistant coach, head coach, where you made the move to start a guy that had less experience over a guy that had been around, but you had the guy that had been around, you knew what he could do and what he couldn't do, and you felt like that the younger guy probably had the ability to do more. Basically, you're going to put a guy out there that's the face of your team. I mean, he's going to make the decisions that really win and lose for you, and who you think gives you the best opportunity with the supporting cast to not only make the plays but avoid losing, avoid the big mistakes that keep you from winning games. I don't worry about interceptions as much as some people do. If Ryan waited till Julio Jones was open, he would never catch a pass because he gets double covered. You got to throw some balls in some tight windows. You know, the one thing about Brett Favre, he's the all-time leading passer yardage and touchdowns thrown, but he's also the all-time leading passer that had the most intercepted. So you got to go to bat if you're going to get some hits. You're going to get a few of those, but just the dumb mistakes or the fumble snaps or the, you know, throwing in the double coverage, those are things that you can't put up with. But I don't know that we have a quarterback issue right now just because we put so much into benching Lambert and putting this kid out there and going with him. And, you know, they felt like he was going to develop, and he has. But he's still got a long way to go, just like a lot of quarterbacks do. So, you know, you look around the league, there was a lot of freshman quarterbacks played last year. Bentley, they took his red shirt off and played him in South Carolina and worked because he had a better chance to win. They played Patterson at – same way at Ole Miss. So I just feel like that Fromm gives us a good alternative to, you know, have a guy coming in there. We got to sign a 2018 quarterback, though. We got to.
Yes.
There's a lot of good players in our state that are leaving the state that maybe we can turn around, whether it's Fields or Lawrence or Emory Jones or whoever it might be. Those are really good quarterbacks. They're going to be playing for somebody else. Maybe we can turn them around.
It really hit me Saturday. It's like it's literally just Eason and Fromm. I know Sam Vaughn played a little bit, but it's like, can they talk Bryce Ramsey into staying? They might want to keep him around here. I don't know what's going on with him. But
well, hey, we had Quincy Carter, and that was it.
Those
kids transferred. But fortunately, we were able to redshirt David Green. But,
yeah.
Fortunately for Georgia, unfortunately for me, but I think it's a position where you always got to have guys developing and coming up and knowing what to do. There's so much that can be involved, Sam. If just being around and watching a kid practice, and I would say to high school players or high school coaches or junior high guys that might be listening, you can learn a lot by just watching the other guy, what he does right and what he does wrong. You know, hey, if I'm in this situation, what would I do? If you're standing on the sideline and the coach is calling the plays, think about a mental rep, what you would do. Okay, we're running a three-man route to the strong side flood. We're going to read the underneath coverage. If a guy backs up, we always throw the ball in the flat. You can't throw the ball over a guy that's backing up. But get that mental rep. And the one thing I always used to tell quarterbacks about is being in all these meetings, all these pregame plans, being involved in these decisions. You got to use that experience so when it's your turn to play, you're ready to go. Those are invaluable.
We'll continue on the other side. We got to take a quick break. Coach Donnan here in the studio with us for about another 20 minutes or so.
All right, 9:35, back here on The Morning Show. We are presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. Sam Franco, David Johnston, Coach Donnan along with you. 706-549-6000. If you got any questions for the coach, you can also email them in, 960theref@coxradio.com. We got the NFL draft coming up this week, which is always fun to pay attention to Thursday night with the first round. And, you know, we've talked about some of these players. We've talked about Myles Garrett. We've talked about Deshaun Watson and Mitchell Trubisky, as he wants to be called now. But who are some of the other guys in this draft, Coach, that you like and would be ready to give your stamp of approval to?
Well, you got all these backs. You know, the fact that you got Fournette, Dalvin Cook, McCaffrey. I mean, these guys are just difference makers that can go in and help a team right away because they all can catch the ball and they got special gifts, you know, a lot like Gurley had going number 10 like he did. So I'm anxious to see what happens there. And there's a lot of receivers. I know when, you know, you got a situation here with Williams going pretty high and also Ross, that fast kid from Washington. It's going to be interesting to see how these guys pan out. But you know, overall, a good defensive lineman from Stanford, I think he'll go pretty high too. But I don't really study it as much as I probably should. But, you know, I see Todd McShay on there, and I just remember Todd back when I was working at ESPN. He used to – his first job is he used to go – to the games and sit in the truck, and he was a college quarterback at Richmond, didn't play a lot, but he would just maybe see some trends in the game, you know, and he would just write them down and tell the producer about it. And then he got up there in the studio. They started wanting to, you know, show some tape on these NFL games, so he'd go over downstairs and watch some of the highlights and just break out the tape and show it to the producer and then say, okay, we're going to watch so-and-so throw this pass and this is route. But now he's turned into the Mel Kiper Jr. And I used to say, hey, Todd, I used to know you when you had holes in your shoes. But he's truly a guy that worked his way up the ladder. I mean, and a very hard worker, knows football, and gives you a really good idea about it. And then the guy with the NFL Network that does the same thing, what's his name? The guru,
Mike Mayock.
Mike Mayock. He did our Auburn game when we did the overtime, and I've never seen a guy do all the prep that he did. I said, hey, you want my blood type too? What do you want? But he was very thorough, and he knows, you know, he actually played at Boston College and played a little bit with Boston, New England. But I think these guys really do their homework, and it's going to be interesting to see. Which one do you guys watch? Do you watch ESPN or NFL Network on the draft?
A little bit of both. I mean, I swayed towards the NFL Network the past few years because I just couldn't take Chris Berman anymore. But now that he's gone, and Trey Wingo will be doing it. Because I like Mel Kiper, I like McShay, I like the ESPN analysts. But, you know, I flip back and forth.
Gruden, you know, he knows too much about him. But
yes.
I tell you, Trey Wingo is a classy guy.
Yep.
I mean, if you were going down 316 right now and had a flat tire, you could call him and he'd come out there and help you change it. He's really a classy guy.
That's awesome. And, you know, as far as the draft itself, I mean, the thing I just like about it is it's where you connect college football to the NFL.
Exactly.
You know, you've
exactly.
got everything coming together. If for nothing else, for one night, you got the NFL and college being talked about prominently.
And things are just indelible in your mind as Roger sitting in the green room. I mean, you know, unbelievable that guy's arm, just watch the way he flicks it, and he's just a special talent.
Hey, Coach, our man Stevie T also
right,
emailed
Stevie.
In. And I guess maybe the gist of the email is whether there's a quarterback commotion or not. I mean, because Georgia's thin at that position, would it be – I mean, I'm not saying you got to tell Kirby what to do, but is it one of those situations where if Eason is the guy, are you playing both quarterbacks or do you have to – maybe try to get some separation and does Fromm become an emergency quarterback? I guess that's a tough question to answer.
Yeah, I mean, I think it all boils down to who else you got that would be the emergency guy. If you got a guy, I mean, I think we've got a couple walk-ons coming in that, you know, we had Corey Phillips who did a terrific job.
Yeah.
And we gave him a scholarship. But I think it gets down to as much as you want to build for the future, you got to take care of business now. And it's very hard to redshirt anybody anymore because so many of these guys come out early anyhow. So I think, you know, how they do in fall camp, you'll know a whole lot more about how Fromm progresses because first 10 days of practice, he'll have more practice than he did the whole spring, more meeting time, more everything. And Plus, he has all summer to work out with these kids. Really, you can't do anything with the coaches on the field with them, but you coaches can meet with them, and you can install a lot and get everything ready. The difference in when I coached and now is the first day of fall camp, they'll have everything in because they had a chance to practice on their own and meet all summer that we would have just been meeting the first day, you know what I mean? So
you're
further along when fall camp starts, and that'll be very helpful to Fromm. But I think it's hard to redshirt somebody if you only got one quarterback on scholarship beside the starter. So, you know, but
– and a redshirt – and people, too, you, I guess, maybe not always understand. You don't just start the season and say – so-and-so is going to be redshirted. That's not a decision you have to make.
Yeah, you go into the idea that you're going to
– you may have a plan.
We had every intention of playing Nate Hibble the first year because he was here all spring and practice, and Quincy didn't come to fall. First time he ever practiced with us was in August the 10th or something like that. And we were going to play him even though we had you know, a situation with Quincy playing. But after second or third game, it was obvious that Quincy was ready. And so we redshirted him. So you can't make that decision to maybe third or fourth game. But you don't want to put a guy in to mop up and use his whole career for 1 year for a few mop-up plays. So there's a real fine line there.
By the way, kind of a little bit of a breaking news story that's not football related.
Oh, yeah, I just saw
that.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. is retiring, so I guess the concussions of the situation with him and his concussions, which is not just a racing issue, but it's a sports issue.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's not really a shock, though, just because, like you said, he had the trouble last year with the concussions.
Yeah, you got to be careful with that, man. I mean, those but he amazing. You talk about people that are – loyal fans now.
He's always the most popular driver every year.
Those everybody's got their favorite, and Dale Jr. is right up there. I remember up in West Virginia, they used to have a NASCAR call-in show like we have, you know, on Friday night. And they were asking this one West Virginian said, "Hey, how come you wear Ray-Bans, but you got something else on the side of your car?" Well,
that's a good question. Yeah.
I don't know what the guy answered, but I said, man, can you imagine getting a NASCAR call-in show?
Wow. That's incredible. Well, you know, being from North Carolina, Coach, you're all around that kind of stuff.
Hey, let me tell you something. I started out with NASCAR when Caesar was going over the Rubicon. my dad worked for Wachovia, which is Wells Fargo. And he was involved with a lot of these people like Richard Petty's dad, Lee Petty.
Yeah.
And these guys were wanting financing for their cars, so he would finance these cars for them, you know, and then they started getting these car dealerships that of their own. But we used to go out to these dirt tracks and watch them, and my dad would ask me if I'd want to go, and I had to act like I wanted to, but I said, do I have to? You know, these dirt tracks, I mean, it was just, you come back in dirt all over you and everything. It was terrible. We went up to Weaverville, North Carolina to a race one time. It was terrible, and these guys just spinning out and everything. But my good friend Nelson Bowers actually bought a racing team back when I was a coach here at Georgia, and he had to you know, you go down in those pits, it's amazing the way they got the technology now, you know, study their pit stops and how they can get faster and all that. But yeah, I got a little background. I don't live or die watching NASCAR, that's for
right.
sure, but I think it's a good move for him. I mean, you know, he's got all kind of different kind of interest.
Oh, anyway. No doubt. I mean, even his own racing team, I guess. So, I mean, that's not anything that, I mean, but hey, you got to do it. And by the way, the other story that was interesting today, too, is that Adrian Peterson's going to sign with the Saints. It
good
sounds
move
like.
For the Saints now. I mean, they're going to have a running game, but well, they got Ingram and him. And
that Travaris, you know, Cadet's not bad either.
They got to find some way to stop somebody once in a while.
That's what we were saying earlier. It's like they need defense, though. But,
you know, our division with the Falcons, I mean, that's a tough – I mean, you got good quarterbacks. I mean, you got Jameis and you got –
Between the four quarterbacks in the NFC South, there's no other division that has the quarterbacks that good. There's no question.
But I know one thing as far as difference between night and day in this studio. Last year, after the first Falcon game, I came in here and Sam was in the fetal position.
Are you sure that wasn't the show after the Super Bowl?
Hey, well, that was bad, but I'm talking about we were.
Oh, yeah, we thought they were going to go like 0-6.
We were saying, hey, how are they going to win a game?
Yeah.
And that just goes to show you how much, you know, things can happen. Teams improve and get better. Falcons have done a really good job with their draft and, you know, free agency. Who knows what's going to happen? And that's what's so amazing to me is the way that the Patriots have been able to dominate through free agency, you know, because they lose so many players, but they just keep rolling them in there.
Well, Coach, it's always great to see you. We love you. We think the world of you and can't wait until the fall when we get to do this every Tuesday. Also, we want to, you know, we know Mary's been under the weather, and we're praying and thinking of her, too. And well, we want you to, you and the family to know that as
appreciate
well.
Appreciate it. Appreciate everybody backing us on that. She's doing a good job of – she's coaches-wise. She's tough. She's fighting hard. I think the main thing for us in the get ready for the fall is, you know, just everybody understand how important it is to this is your team. Whatever your team is – through thick or thin, that's your team. You know, you can find a lot of things right and wrong with any situation, but you know, hey, back your team and be positive. I really feel we got a good sense of direction here. I don't know if this is a year or not, but if you keep recruiting like you did last year, Katie bar the door.
Just keep stacking those classes and it will definitely pay dividends. But great to see you, Coach. Thanks so much, and can't wait till the fall gets here.
Get a couple wins for the baseball. I like listening to you a lot more when they win.
Yeah, I heard that. Well, hopefully we'll get it tonight. We need to beat the Yellow Jackets.
Rec Tech.
Absolutely. Thanks, Coach.
All right, thank you.